Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. Oh my goodness, I can't believe how quickly these come around, but this is one of my favorite kinds of shows. I'm going to be doing a Conversations with Carol. And what does that mean? That means that I'm going to be devoting the entire show to answering your questions. So if you have a question for me, we can talk about your health. We can talk about any topic. The only thing I'm really not skilled at is, what are you going to be when you grow up? As I said before, I really haven't got that figured out myself. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062 in the United States and Canada, and then 425-644-5620. That is also good U.S., Canada, and international callers. I was talking to Rebecca before I started the show about the energy last week, had lots of readings, and had a lot of people just popping me emails and saying, Carol, what is going on? Well, last week, it just seems like part of this shift and this resolve that we're in as far as 2010 is that we're being asked to go really deep emotionally and find those things that have been kind of lingering deep inside that we just have either chosen not to deal with, or that wasn't the right time, or whatever the reason may be. But it's like last week, the universe said, okay, we need to dig a little deeper. We need to go a little bit more into the emotional part, because emotions are the barometer that our soul uses to basically tell us that we are holding something inside. The stronger the negative emotion, then the more concern, the concern that the soul has that we need to get rid of whatever is lingering inside. So the more negative emotion, all the soul is doing is saying, look at this and look at how much time and energy that you have invested in actually allowing this to be able to impact not only your life, but really inhibiting who you really are. So last week was what I call the roller coaster ride of the universe, a lot of highs and lows, a lot of deep emotional work. I was saying to Rebecca, this week, I don't know, I'm sending out to the universe a vibe mail. Let's make this week a little smoother. And so if you want to join me in that vibe mail, it's www.universe.com, whatever that is. That's a joke. There may really be a website that is that. But what we want to do is we want to send that vibe mail out and say to the universe, listen, we're really willing to do this emotional work and to resolve and let go of things. But, you know, every so often we just need that little bit of breather in between. So anyway, I'll keep you updated from time to time as these energy shifts take place. The thing that I've found in the readings that I've done and the emails that I've received is people are talking about a lot of lower back issues. And the reason for that is in the where the lumbar spine and the sacral spine come together, and that L5 and S1, that's where we hold the fear of unknown. And we certainly have a lot of things that are really pending right now, not only in just the universe, in our own life globally, but also there's this major shift of consciousness that has been in momentum in the universe. So we really are being asked to go deep inside and to be able to, you know, look at things. So if you have the mid back, that lower back, it's the fear of unknown. And then if it gets down around the coccyx tailbone area, what that is that's the fear around survival. And everything that's being said now is that from the economy standpoint, globally, things are looking up. So whatever we're sending out to the universe, however we're, you know, letting it know that we're willing to be here and do the work and let go of things and resolve all this unfinished business that we have within our own life, and then also being of service to others, this is the time. Okay, well, let me go ahead and jump right in, and let's take Sally from California. Hi, Sally.
Carol, about six or seven, by the way, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
You are so welcome, my love. You are a busy lady right now, aren't you?
I am. I have to get the volume off on this. Just hold on a moment.
Okay.
I'm very sorry. I don't want to take your time because I know other people are.
Well,
are
you know,
waiting.
You've got me, Sally, so let's just turn it down and do what we want to, sweetie.
Okay,
it's just you.
Fine.
It's just you and I.
Oh, super. Thank you. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, I developed kind of a clicking in the back of my neck. And I thought maybe it was from a series of exercises that I do regularly. I have no way of knowing, but I think the important thing is can you determine what's causing the clicking and any suggestions of what I should do about it?
I can, and thank you for asking me. What we have is we've got the tendons themselves, and the ligaments are very, very tight in that particular area. And when I trace the clicking in the spine itself, the neck itself, I have to take it to both of your shoulders and the rotator cusp on both shoulders. There's a lot of tension that I'm picking up energetically. And what it's doing is it's like, Sally, it's like it's pulling those ligaments on that are attached to the spine, it's pulling those to a place where they are taking the spine and they're putting pressure on it. What that's doing is it's taking the spine itself and it's got a little bit out of alignment, not a lot, but a little bit. So my sense is what you're hearing, part of the clicking is the actual ligaments themselves in that, you know, the way they kind of dialogue with us to let us know that they're tight. And then the other thing is that the spine actually can create, I don't know if this is really the best way to say it, but I'm going to say it this way so you can get a visual. They get like little air pockets between the spine and in the disc itself. And a lot of times when we have this tension and this pulling, say, for example, if you were to raise your right arm and you were to start to pull it backwards, my sense is you'll start hearing something with a clicking. So it's the movement of the arms that are triggering that. And that means that we've got these little pockets of basically air, a popping that takes place when we go in and we have the movement. So for all of my chiropractors out there, I understand that wasn't the most, you know, clinical definition, but that's really what it is.
Sure.
There is not a vertebrae out of place.
Okay,
it's just
good.
Twisted and torqued. That's the main thing. But the other thing that you can do, sweetie, is you can go in and do some stretching. And what I mean by that is you may want to stretch up above your head instead of out. What you might want to do is some the yoga pose, cats in a cradle, where you actually drop your belly down and then you raise and hunch your back like a cat would. That will take the pressure off of that thoracic and that lumbar part of the spine. And then, because what happens when the upper spine gets tight, Sally, then it just is like a chain reaction. It just works all the way down the spine and so forth. So when you're going to release the vertebrae and everything, what you want to do is you want to do a full spinal stretching. The other thing that you could do is you could probably go in and get a massage and you would have a lot of the relief from the clicking. The other thing is that you could seek the help of a chiropractor that would be able to help you with this. My sense is what's happened is that over the course of time with the exercise, it's probably brought up a memory. It feels like you bumped your, you know, maybe whiplash or you hit your head or something as a child. And it's brought that old pattern back into the muscle structure and the ligaments and so forth and the tendons and everything. So it's kind of like you're doing this deep emotional work via your spine.
Interesting, because there's a lot of that going on right now for me. Now the cats in the cradle, we're talking about the exercise to kind of drop my head so the back of the neck is stretched out.
Yes. So what you do is you get on your all fours.
Yeah.
Your hands and your knees, and you want your arms to be parallel with your shoulders, not ahead. And yes, and then you just arch your back way up and hold it for a little time, and then drop your belly down, bring your head back up toward your bottom. And then what that does is hold that pose for a short period of time and then do it very, very slowly, very smooth in the action of it, not herky jerky. And what that'll do is it will take and it just relieves all the pressure off of the spine itself. And then the other thing, sweetie, I just picked up is that you might want to look at doing either some Tremel, that's a homeopathic cream that you can put on an area that has some inflammation. Your right shoulder, right at the rotator cusp, on that right shoulder is, I've got some inflammation that's in there. So it may be that something that was done in the exercise either hyperextended it or something, but you might want to do Arniflora or Arnica. You might want to look at a homeopathic remedy and that will help you as well.
Okay, Arnica or Arnica Flora. And then you also said something else that started with a T, I thought. I'm taking
right, Trameel. It's T-R-A-M-E-E-L, and you can get all of those at a
health food store.
Yep,
sure.
Exactly. And what that'll do is that will help take some of the inflammation off of the tendons, especially in that right arm that I'm picking up. And what it'll do is it'll take the inflammation out. Then the tendons won't be as tight and so forth, so that will help you as well. But my sense is any of the other things I talked about will help you.
Okay, super. And yes, the cat's in the cradle, it's what I call the cat cow, and I thought maybe it was an exercise.
Oh,
it's the new
okay.
one that I wanted to learn. I don't want to keep you too long because
yeah.
I know there's people waiting, but I was very interested when we first started talking. You said, oh, you're a very busy lady. Are you picking up negative on that or positive?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, you are cleaning closets. You are brushing things off your shoulder. You are getting rid of things. I mean, you are
yes.
really in this resolve mode that's really around this energy. It's like when I touch you, it's like, okay, well, if I'm not going to use it now and I haven't used it in the last 6 months, it's out of here. And it's almost like I can feel in your energy. Next, move on. Next, move on. And
yes,
that's how you feel
perfect.
To me. You are just in a very, very busy place. That is true.
Thank you very much. And I heard you speak in Stockton here a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
And I just loved it. And you've got the most wonderful personality. You're an absolutely delightful person in addition to all of the all of your wonderful intuitive skills. Thank you so much for being on this earth.
Well, my pleasure, Sally. Oh, my goodness. You brought tears to my eyes and my heart smiling really, really big. You have a great day. And, honey, keep that next and moving on. It's working for you.
Thank you so much.
You
Goodbye
are so
now.
Welcome. Goodbye. Hi, let's take Nan, line two. Hi, Nan.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, how can I help you, hon?
I was calling to see if I could get a reading on my digestive system.
Okay. So where would you like me to start? Because I'll tell you, when I first touch you, sweetie, the entire digestive system, both the upper and the lower, are acting up on you. So do you want me to start with the stomach, or you want me to start with the small intestine? Where do you want to go, babe?
It doesn't matter to me.
Just go
I've
for
been
it.
Suffering with, I've been suffering with this for 2 years now. I'm tired.
Okay. So have you been to a doctor, and have you been tested for H. pylori?
No.
Okay. H. pylori is a bacteria that basically gets in and it just plays havoc with the stomach itself. And it can create an irritant in the stomach. When I go in, it feels like it's something that you ingested on food. Maybe it was something that, it's not like E. coli, but it's something that you ate that had some contamination on it. Let's see if I can come up with it. It was a piece of fruit, maybe an apple or cantaloupe or something. There was something to it. It wasn't E. coli. It wasn't salmonella, but it actually feels like it's something ingested, and it's an H. pylori. Now, what that does is it creates an irritant in the stomach itself, and if that irritant isn't taken care of, then it just kind of feeds on itself. That's the way to look at it. So when I go into the stomach, there's a couple of things. I go into the hiatal sphincter, which is right there where the esophagus and the stomach come together. There's a little bit of change that's happened there, probably because of some reflux and some situation. I've got some inflammation in that area. The stomach itself has got some inflammation. In fact, if you can see the anatomy of a stomach, we've got that big bulb, and then it drops down to that little bulb. It's kind of like a kidney shape. And when I go to that upper bulb area, right up underneath your left breast area, up underneath the sternum, toward the center of the body itself, I've got some inflammation there. And it looks to me almost like someone's taken their fingernails and they've kind of gouged the area. So what's going to happen, Nan, is when you eat foods and that hydrochloric acid comes in, and the bile and the pepsin's actually an alkalizer, comes in to try to work with the food, it causes the irritation, and that's some of the discomfort. But the real thing that I find is that the food itself isn't being broken down the way that it needs to, and by the time it goes in for digestion in the lower small intestine, then what occurs is it's not broken down as much as it needs to, and as a result, it isn't moved and utilized efficiently, and that can cause some bloating. It can cause discomfort in that lower area, and so Now that I've said all those things, so what we need to do is we need to work with both areas. The best place to start is to go in and look at the H. pylori. I would encourage you to do some reading on it. The common treatment that a doctor would use would be to put you on antibiotics, but that compounds what happens in the small intestine because it throws that natural, you know, that fungus, yeast, bacteria. So there's things you can do. You can cool your gut. Look for ways to be able to cool your stomach. That means eating foods that aren't high in acid, looking at foods that aren't high in spice. You'll want to minimize the amount of fat that you eat, animal fat in particular, so the gallbladder liver dynamics doesn't come in and get stressed over what to do with that. The other thing that you could do is you don't want to take an acid reducer because that's not the problem. The problem is you don't have enough acid, so when it does get into the stomach, then it creates the irritant. So you might want to look at probiotics. You might want to look at digestive enzymes. You might even want to look at taking some Tums. It feels like the calcium that would be in Tums would also be good for your bones. I'm getting just a tad bit of calcium depletion, so that would be beneficial. Actually, we can deal with H. pylori very effective through something like an antacid, but not an acid reducer. That's something to look at. The other thing is that you might want to do some research on Ayurvedic medicine and come in and look at how to cool the stomach down. You can also go to health food stores. Highlands has some wonderful products. Talk to the person that works there about getting some homeopathic remedies to be able to settle your stomach down. And what occurs with the H. pylori is anything that gets in there, the H. pylori goes yum, 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 everything's really good, but it creates almost an irritant, a spasming that takes place, and things just don't break down to that chime the way it needs to.
Is the H. pylori what the incredible gases that I've got? Well, is that what's causing that?
It is, sweetie. It's kind of in the upper part of the stomach that's causing the lower part of the, in the small intestine. When we get that small intestine and the food isn't broken down in all those nooks and crannies, the food can get lodged up in those nooks and crannies, or in some cases, because we just don't have enough of the breakdown, it can feel like it gets lodged in that small intestine and it ferments. And when it ferments, what it does is then it creates the bloating. It can create the gas. It can create a very, very foul smell in the flatulence itself instead of, you know, just some of the stuff if we were to eat fiber or something like that. So it can, if, you know, I hate to always say this, but I always say to people, if you have gas issues, you really want to pay attention to the odor of it because it tells you a lot about whether the food is not digested, whether it's just because you've eaten lentils or beans or whatever it may be. But yes, so alkalize, you want to go in and look at some ways to be able to deal with the H. pylori. It isn't something, Nan, that you're going to deal with the rest of your life, sweetie. It just, I find with H. pylori, when we get out of balance or irritated with ourselves or we've got too much going on and we're just not paying attention to our body, our stomach is the first thing that gets us back in the body. And so what we do is we have to go in and be mindful, chew a lot, increase the saliva, that'll help macerate it, break it down, and that will help you. But if you want to go, but again, H. pylori isn't something that is serious, but it is something that needs to be taken care of because it can create irritants in the stomach. And then if left untreated, then it could ultimately lead to gastric ulcers.
Okay. Can you tell me, do you sense any foods that I should avoid?
What I would do right now is I would do two things. Is I would minimize the amount of meat that you eat. Cold water fish would be okay. You don't like meat?
I'm not eating any meat right now. It just seems too hard for me to digest.
It is. It's the fat that's the animal fat. The thing. Cold water fish would work well for you. You could do some very lean chicken if you wanted to do that. Those are both acidic, but they're healthy acidic. Take, of course, all the skin, the fat, and everything off the chicken itself. One of the things you'll want to do is you'll want to watch eating bok choy, cabbage products. You might want to go in and add some kale. It does tend to have sometimes flatulence issues in people, but it's very, very good. It'll help stabilize the stomach. So you might want to look at things like that. I'm really not picking up food allergies that are screaming at me, Nan.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm finding more, it's just kind of watching what you eat and then adding a lot more alkaline vegetables and fruits and things like that.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling me. And again, you are so welcome, sweetie.
You're a very blessed lady, and you are a blessing to so many others. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, my gosh, all of you as listeners, I've just got that biggest heart smile there is. Thank you very much for all of your kind words. Okay, let's take Jessica from Utah. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, this is Jessica. How are you?
I'm fine, sweetie. So how are you?
Well, I've had a lot of health issues lately. My husband had a heart attack, and before that I had a sinus infection and something going on with the throat and the body. So I talk a lot at work, so I think it could be related.
Well, I want to tell you, don't stop talking because it's very interesting. You have a lot to share with people, don't you?
Yes.
A lot of reading, a lot of spiritual part of who you are, and you're just, you know, kind of sharing the wealth and the word and everything. Okay,
yeah.
So let's go in. I pick up two things with the sinus and the throat issue. Stress is the number one cause for the weakening of the immune system. With your husband's with a heart attack, and then you've got a lot of changes going on in your life, hon. So you've been under a lot of prolonged stress, and your immune system, you know, was very effective in working at it. Now it's just getting tired. It's not stopping. It's just saying, you know, I'm tired. I don't know what to kind of, you know, fight, what to work at. I'm not sure what a foreign substance is going to be looking like. And it needs to be replenished. So from the healing standpoint, there's quite a few things that you can do for the immune system. Number one is, sleep. You have a kind of a double-edged sword with that. Your body's asking for the sleep, but I'm finding not only with the stress, but what is happening in the hormones in your body, your quality of sleep is diminishing. You're not staying in that deep REM sleep that we actually detox and so forth. So you've got a couple things going on there. I'll come back to that. When the immune system becomes compromised, then what can occur is that it just basically doesn't have the efficiency that it normally does for dealing with any kind of viral or bacterial infections that tend to invade the body.
Right.
Then when I go in and I say, okay, well, I've got a weakened immune system, I go into your small intestine. And, sweetie, have you ever been diagnosed or anybody talked to you about candida?
Yes.
Okay.
One time somebody mentioned that to me, and I started reading books on it, you know, from the health food store. And I probably do have it.
You do. It's not like it was even a month ago, but you still do. A month ago is that when, you know, the lower gut was just really out of balance. When we get out of balance in that small intestine, lower digestive system, it changes the pH, not only in that part of the body, but pH in the immune system itself. And then you take all the stress and that you've been under, and so your immune system was fatigued. Now it's pH out of balance. And one of the things I can tell you, sweetie, is your candida goes systemic. I can actually pick it up as kind of a phlegm or maybe a rattling in the throat itself, a clearing of the throat feels
like.
Yeah. Listen to me. I'm clearing the throat for you.
I do that a lot lately.
Yes. And that's one of the things that's a common thing when candida goes systemic. I can also go in and after you eat, I can pick up almost a metallic or a taste in your mouth that has the candida presence. And then candida goes systemic into the sinus itself and it can create sinus infections. So going in twofold, sweetie, work at building your immune system up. And what that means is that if you need to take a cat nap in the afternoon, and you can do, because that will help replenish you.
Take a little cat nap.
Perfect. That's really good, because then that helps make up for what your body isn't able to do at your night sleep where you get into that deep REM. The other thing is that you might want to look at some things that you can do naturally, echinacea, golden seal. Those are the things, zinc. You feel like you're low on zinc. You might want to explore that. Also, I'm picking up some magnesium. deficiency. I'm beginning to pick that up a little bit in your muscles, so you might want to look at that. Green, red, orange, yellow fruits and vegetables are very, very healthy.
More of that now.
And then the other thing is that I don't, it just popped in, is that you might want to look at doing a tablespoon of, apple cider vinegar, the kind you get at a health food store, and you might want to put it in a little bit of water, just sip it, something like that. And that feels like that'll alkalize you very quickly, or you could even do a little bit of baking soda and water. You don't need to do it for a long time. This isn't the rest of your life, but 3 to 5 days, if you just did something like that, I think you're going to find a major difference in the,
and the candida, is there anything I can take for that?
Well, the candida, the best thing to do is to alkalize. And with doing the sodium bicarbonate, doing the apple cider vinegar, the diet that has those colors in it, all of those are alkaline base. Those are the things that will help. But the other thing you can do is stay away from all white foods for at least 7 days. That's usually how long it takes candida to kind of get a hold of us.
So, and stay away from crackers.
Yeah, you want to stay away anything white, white flour, white sugar, white rice, any of those things. If you like rice, do brown rice. The fiber would be good. So there's things that you can do like that. And again, it's not for the rest of your life. It just feels like you're getting better. I can feel that. But what it is we just need to kind of jump in and give it at least a week of real good focus of not doing the things that are acidic in nature.
Yeah, I even took time off work because I just felt like my body just needed to take that time and rest. You know,
it does.
Yeah.
And
after the heart attack and taking care of my husband, I think now it's like all that stress is starting to hit me.
It is. And, you know, when we're kind of in the heat of the moment, the way we are, and especially women, excuse me if I have any men listening, I'm not trying to negate you, but as women, we go into that place where we are very emotionally engaged, and then it's almost like we become cold. And what I mean by that is that we set our emotions on the back burner, and we literally just methodically, mentally go through the steps that are needed in order for us to be able to provide or take care of, you know, whatever is going on. So, but at some point in time, those emotions are still kind of, you know, dwelling inside of us. And then we let down. And then all that emotion that's been draining us starts to take the impact on the body. So being good to yourself, kind to yourself is really very important.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much.
So you are most welcome with that. Thank you so much for calling me, and I appreciate that.
Oh, I was referred to you, and I really appreciate you giving me all that time and knowledge. Really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Well, the rest of you, please stay on the line. I'm going to be right back and talk a little bit more about personality and health and all the questions that we're doing and energy and the whole thing. This is a Conversations with Carol show today, so I'll be right back. Thanks very much.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Well, thank you very much for joining me today. Today is a Conversations with Carol show where I devote the entire hour to just chatting with you and sharing information and sharing my medical intuitive skills. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Or you can call me at 425-644-5620. I wanted to let you know that every month I offer a Your Health teleclass. It's actually a free teleclass, and I focus on a specific illness. And in the teleclass, I go in and I discuss what the illness is in great length. And part of the reason for that is so people who have that illness really have an in-depth understanding of what it is in the physical body and the different treatments that are available, both from conventional and allopathic, or what I call alternative therapies. But I also, in the process in these teleclasses, I look at that illness energetically. What does it look like in the aura? And the reason for that is so you can have a visual. So you can go in and say, okay, this is where this illness is affecting my body. This is what it looks like. And the power of visualization to be able to heal has been proven over and over again in the research that's been done with it. So by giving you this visual image of what it looks energetically, you can go in and say, okay, how do I change that image and use visualization as a process. The other thing is I actually map the illness by the chakra system. The chakras, one of the nice things about the chakra system versus the physical body basically brings attention to the fact when we're in that symptomology stage, where the origin site of an illness is actually identified in the chakra system. So when I look at an illness, I say, here, this is the chakra that's the origin site. Here's the primary symptom site, and here's the secondary symptom site. So then you can see the progression via the chakra system, as well as all of the information that I provide about chakras and how to be able to deal with bringing balance back into that chakra that's the origin site. And then if you do that, then the primary and the secondary symptom site take care of itself. And then with my background with personality, I look at the illness via personality and the role that personality plays, your personality plays, in the susceptibility around that particular illness. So it's a very comprehensive picture of what an illness is, both from the physical standpoint, the conventional allopathic medicine standpoint, energetically, chakras, personality, and then, as I said, I always offer information on conventional treatments and then also alternative treatments. So having said all of that, every month I have the free teleclass. I'm going to be having one in March. It'll be posted to my website shortly. It's going to be on chronic pain, but I wanted to let you know that my February teleclass was on arthritis, and I now have available for purchase on my website an audio download of the teleclass itself. It actually ended up being 90 minutes that's available, and then also a printable PDF download that you can actually print out that covers all of the things that I just discussed in the write-up itself. If you're interested in purchasing those, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com. On my homepage, upper left-hand side, you'll see a little icon that's a little box with earphones on, and you just click on that, and then you can purchase either of the downloads that you're interested in. I also have found that a lot of people who are in the healing arts tend to save these reference sheets and are creating like their own encyclopedia of illnesses. And so it may be something that if you are in the healing arts, you'd be interested in that. But most important, if you deal with arthritis, it is a comprehensive, in-depth way to look at what you can do to heal yourself on all levels, not only just physically, mentally, emotionally, and also energetically. So it's available on ritberger.com, ritberger.com. Okay, let's go ahead and jump in now and take some more calls. Hi, Martha from California, line 4.
Oh, hi. Thank you, Carol, for taking my call.
You are welcome. What part of California are you from?
Oh, Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Busy down there. Lots of people.
Yeah. Yeah, very busy.
Oh. So how can I help you, hon?
Well, yeah, I spoke to you a while ago. I had a car accident. I think it was like about a little over 9 months ago.
Yep. I remember your energy.
Yeah. And I'm still having pain and like I'd probably describe it as kinks. And I just got sick of not exercising, so I decided to go back to the gym last week, and I had this like terrible pain shooting up the back of my head and mm-hmm. my shoulders, and it seems to be a little better this week.
Okay, so what we need to do, the best thing that would work for you, Martha, is walking, sweetie. Slow, methodical, moving, stretching. Moving when you're walking, moving your arms. One of the things I'm going to say is that I keep picking up, you should not be on a treadmill though. And part of the reason for that is it feels like if you got on a treadmill, you're not going to walk the way you normally would if you were sauntering through the neighborhood. Oh. And what you do is what will occur is that if I get you on any kind of equipment, then it's going to change that stride. It's going to put too much pressure on that lumbar part of the spine that got twisted in the accident itself. And you still feel like you've got a disc that is still healing from that particular injury. So just walking and movement would be the best exercise for you. Again, a gentle movement. My sense is that what occurred with the exercise is that the spine and the muscles and everything were healing. And it isn't that you've done a lot of damage. I don't want to put you in that fear place, but that area of the spine that was actually, bruised, it feels like as much as anything else, is still in the healing process. And through the exercise, it caused that spine to torque and then to compress. And my sense is that's where you were getting the pain, is that you were getting it in the peripheral nerves. And then what it did is it went and it kind of compressed it. That's the best way to say with the nerve. And that caused the nerve to get inflamed. And so what I encourage you to do now is you might want to look at doing some things that you can manage the inflammation of that nerve itself. And that could be, over-the-counter pain medication. It could be Aleve or ibuprofen. I'm going in, as I said, Aleve. I got this little bit of twitch on it. Again, for everyone that's listening, you know, I just kind of share what comes through. I don't get any kind of support from any of these companies. I would pass on Aleve, sweetie. How's that? I say that and the company's probably going, you, and then I go, no, don't do that. They're probably going, oh man. But the thing is that you have to do things that your stomach doesn't have to take a long time digesting the capsule itself. There's things that you could do. You could do some topical anti-inflammatories, as I was talking with the first lady this morning, Tramiel, Arnica, Arniflora. What you could also do is Highlands Arnica would be very worthwhile for you to take. Their little tiny pellets that you just put underneath your tongue, that would help you. Are you working with a chiropractor?
No, I was actually released from treatment because I asked my orthopedic doctor if I could go back, to my chiropractor, maybe get an adjustment. I've never had an adjustment in my life, and he said no. He said the physical therapy was working.
Yeah. And what he doesn't want, and what he was saying, is that he didn't want anybody to come in and manipulate that spine or crack it in any way because of the healing that was going on. The reason I'd ask about the chiropractor is there actually is a Highland remedy of Arnica that is a very, you know, even though it is homeopathic, it is a very compressed or a high dosage of it. And for people that have back injuries or have tissue injuries, inflammation and so forth, that's works very well. So, but usually chiropractors are the ones that will go in and use something like that. If you're working with a naturopath, you might ask a naturopath as well. But what I would do right now is I would just be very gentle. The physical therapy is working, to some degree.
Yeah, I'm not doing physical therapy anymore. Yeah. I was, like, released in early September.
Oh, okay. Well, you're still getting the benefits. I didn't know that. So let me tell you what that means. When I don't know that somebody isn't doing something, their body is still adjusting and working with it. Or what it means is that it's not, whatever they're doing isn't working, and then they have to do it. But your body is still recovering nicely from the things that you've been doing, and physical therapy is one of them. It may be something that you might want to even go back and revisit and just see about the stretching aspect of it.
Would it be better, like I've never, like I said, I've never had an adjustment in my life, to go back to the chiropractor and try that, or the physical therapy?
I would go back physical therapy at this point in time, especially because you got that aha that it's still in the healing when you started getting that that pain that was, you know, that started to radiate up into the body itself. That just tells you that it's still in the healing process. Acupuncture would be very, very beneficial for you. It would take a lot of the tension off of the spine, the muscles themselves. And it would also get the chi running down the spine, and then would animate all the nerves the way that it needs to. So you might want to look at some acupuncture. It also feels like that would help you in some of the discomfort that I find around your spine and being in your body. And it would help straighten you up. I still find a little bit of a twist that's going on in the body itself. That's why you're probably having some of the jaw pain that you are, is that the spine itself is trying to heal, but it's torqued, and that's causing the head to torque, and the skull isn't sitting on the head as, you know, in the skull cavity the way that it needs to.
That's what I asked you, because yesterday when I came back from the gym, I just went, I took a shower, and then I had this jaw pain, and I thought, oh my God, do I have a dental issue?
No, you do not, sweetie. It literally is, you know, I say this a lot, but I'm going to say it with great love. Your head isn't on straight, sweetie.
Now,
when I get the joy of touching you and laughing, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would say, you know, Carol, this is really, really true about Martha. But, you know, you and I know we do. It's just that the body itself is out of alignment, sweetie. So what you can do is I would stay away from the gym. I would go back to physical therapy, go back to the process of the conditioning and reconditioning that the physical therapy was doing that really helped. It took pressure off of the spine. You'll want to look at that. And I would just do some walking.
Okay.
And then look at natural ways. Curcumin, turmeric or turmeric, as some people call it, also a very good anti-inflammatory, something that's easy on the stomach versus, you know, some of the over-the-counter things that we take. So you might want to look at that as well.
Yeah, we have a homeopathic pharmacy in Santa Monica. I wonder if they would have a high dose of the arnica.
You can go ask. A lot of times they will. It isn't something you need a prescription, but not every health food store has it. But I would certainly ask about that. It usually comes in 30, 60, or 300. And when you do the 300, it's kind of like a good natural boost. You don't need to do it as many, and you don't need to do as often. But it really acts as a wonderful muscle relaxant, and that would help you a lot.
Oh, okay. And do you know how much, like, longer this is going to take, or how already been, like, almost 9 months?
Yeah. So, no. And let me tell you what. Let me tell you why. You don't either, sweetie, but I'm going to offer a different suggestion. What occurred in the accident? Your survival became questioned. Your mobility became questioned. Your ability to have that freedom to do what you want to became questioned. And I would encourage you to go in and look at where that spine really curves in the lumbar sacral, where it protrudes in the sacral and tucks under as the tailbone area. Mm-hmm. And I would visualize, honey, feeling that spine, you know, having more flexibility, find yourself standing tall. You can visualize a string out the top of your head where you pull it and your vertebrae just lines up, and there's no tension, no pressure on any of the spine, the vertebrae itself or the disc itself. I would do that. And then I would say, okay, you're still experiencing some post-traumatic stress disorder from the accident itself. Let's go in. Let's go in and visualize that you're safe, you're secure, that your body is not going to be hurt, and do some visualization around that. It's not a big deal. It's not years of therapy. It's just that your memory in your back, in your upper neck area, and your little bottom area has this memory, oh my gosh, if I do anything, it's going to hurt, and it's holding you really tight.
Yeah.
So So, you know, and understandably, you know, that you have this, but what you'll want to do is just go in and look at the things that you can control in your life that can help you be in control of being able to survive. You've got a wonderful sense of humor. You're very quick on your feet. You've got a very bright mind. You're financially in a place where you don't have to worry about it. So there are things around your basic human survival that you can look to, and then that can retrain the body energetically and then also change the emotions around the post-traumatic.
Yeah, I definitely have the PTSD because when I'm out driving, I constantly have in my head, oh,
yeah.
I see like a crash and I'm always expecting someone to hit me from the back. So
you're just tense, and it's like you grab that wheel and, oh, we're going to strangle that thing and so forth, and keep the eye on the road and don't look around and all the rest of it. And that may be something that, you know, if you find that you are having difficulty being able to deal with it, then you might want to go and find someone who does EMDR. And even EFT, emotional freedom technique, has really been very effective in dealing with some of the underlying emotional parts. So that may be, you may want to look for a psychologist. Usually it's a psychologist that is trained to do EMDR, or you may want to find an EFT practitioner that can be able to help you. Also, I can tell you, Dr. Darren Weissman has a program called Lifeline Technique. That may even be able to help you, sweetie. So there's three different ways you can go.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Oh,
I appreciate your call.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you. I think you're absolutely amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
Words can't express how amazing I think you are, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have these shows regularly, everybody. I'm loving all of you. I love you anyway, but I'm really loving you today. Thank you so much, sweetie. All right, let's go in and let's do Kate. Hi, Kate. How can I help you, hon?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I spoke with you, it was probably about 2 or 3 months ago, regarding my achy lymphatic system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting achier, and I don't know what else to do. And the muscle tension in my neck is very problematic. It's getting in the way of the rest of my life.
Yeah. Weight of the world on your shoulders, not being able to free yourself from what's going on. Those are the emotional things. Feeling bad about yourself because you haven't been able to heal. Those are all the things. And when I say that, sweetie, very understandably so. So those are some of the emotional things that you're dealing with. And then also there's some things that I feel deep inside that you put off when you get done with all this, or for the best day or the best time or anything, and now you're realizing that those are the things you want to do. So we've got a lot of emotional dynamics that's going on in the neck area itself. Okay, so the lymphatic system. Did I talk to you about doing lymphatic massages?
I see a massage therapist. I actually just had one a couple days ago who does manual lymphatic drainage.
Okay. Hmm.
And I rebound on my own.
Okay. I didn't know that about the massage. That hesitancy you heard over the air was the fact I was trying to go in and figure out why the massage didn't hold the way that it needed to. So that's exactly what I was doing. And it isn't anything with the practitioner itself. But I went in, and the very first place I went with that, when you said you had this massage, I thought, oh, that didn't hold. It didn't help drain the way it needed to. And then the next thing that immediately came in is, oh my goodness, I need to talk to you about your liver. So let's go in, because when I went to the liver, I started picking up some of the emotions that are tied to the first metaphors that I gave you. But the important thing is, why don't you talk to someone about doing a mild liver cleanse? Do you work with a naturopath or an integrative medicine doctor or some holistic practitioner?
Oh, all of the above. Yeah,
okay.
I work with a naturopath, and we've talked about a liver cleanse.
Yeah, would you go in, because what's happening is, I can't, the lymphatic system has movement in it. It is different than when I first read you. I'm not always really, you know, names, but once I touch somebody's energy, I know them. So we're getting the lymph movement the way we need. The body just isn't, getting rid of the waste the way it needs to, and I immediately went to the liver. So you might want to look at a liver cleanse. The liver is actually broken into four lobes, and the out to the right side of the body, right underneath the rib cage itself, is one lobe, and then right below it toward the waistline is another, and then we've got a lobe up toward the breastbone itself, the sternum, and then we've got a lower lobe that's kind of toward the belly button area, the navel area. So in that upper right-hand lobe up underneath the rib itself is where we hold anger, and then below that is where we hold guilt. Those are directed outwardly. We receive anger and guilt from people, situations in our life that other people seem to have control over. So those are where those emotions come from. It's all external. When we take those emotions, such as the anger that we may have inside, and honest to goodness, we all have it inside, what we do is that we have to find ways to constructively express that anger and to set those boundaries. But what we sometimes do, and especially, Kate, around healing of the body, when things aren't working and we think and we're trying to do everything, we turn inward, and then the lobes that are closest to the center of the body are resentment and shame. I started out with metaphors with you, sweetie. I had anger and I had guilt. Mm-hmm. But what I don't want is I don't want you to turn on yourself and be resentful of the fact that you're doing all these things and for some reason you're failing. When you do that, then that element of shame comes in, and it's very difficult for the liver to energetically create the movement that's needed. It becomes congested. Mm-hmm. And that's what I picked up with you, sweetie, is that congestion. The thing is that I can say to you very quickly, Kate, is that I can say to you is that, sweetie, the anger that you're feeling is justified. But don't let that anger turn you on you and create a problem for you, because it makes you congested. Your energy just doesn't move the way it needs to. So you might go in and look at that metaphor. What you're doing physically feels like it's working. It's just, I just all of a sudden today went to that emotional aspect of it. And again, no blame, no anything on that. Just be able to move that forward. So you go talk to the naturopath about doing a liver cleanse and see where we go from there.
Okay. And I'm seeing a Hakomi therapist too, to sort of deal with the anger of this whole thing.
Good.
I just don't understand why it's happening right now, because everything else is going really smoothly in my life, and I don't really...
Well, the reason that it does, honey, is everything else is going so great in your life that now that pent-up anger can come to the surface because you're in a good space to be able to look at it, work with it, dialogue with it, let it go, build those boundaries that you need to. You know, it doesn't mean that we have to be in a bad space for these to come forward. The soul and the body is magnificent. When we're in a good space, the things that we need to really work on may come to the surface. We're not being punished. It's just we're in a good space. You might want to shift the perception around that.
Okay. My naturopath also wants to do a solvent panel on me. I'm an artist. I don't work with toxic materials. But, you know, she just wants to make sure I'm not dealing with like a toxic overload of anything.
Well, that's a very good call. I would take her up on that. And the reason for that is, I agree, I don't think that it's anything you're doing, but it would give your mind what it needs to kind of cross off on the list the concerns that may be there, whether they're concerns in you or the concerns of your naturopath. So I would, if it were my body, I would go ahead and pursue that aspect.
Okay.
So... Well, very good. Thank you so much, Kate. And I'm going to do some, energy dance around the emotional part, the anger. One thing, sweetie, very quickly is, and for everybody out there, I guess this is kind of a great way to stop the, to close out the show. Remember that we aren't born angry. We become angry because of situations that cause us to compromise ourselves. Anger is a very positive emotion when you can find the right way to be able to express it, meaning a healthy way for you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I always love the conversation with Carol Shows. Gives me a chance to talk to you more. I'm going to be back next Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope you'll join me. I'll see you on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.